Everybody ready? Take your Bibles. Colossians chapter 3. Go. It's like Bible drill. Choir, what a blessing. Thank you. What an encouragement. My goodness, you sounded good this morning. Man, it is good to be back. I have been out for just a few weeks. Dee and I have been moving and renovating all at the same time. Not recommended. But we are here, and it is good. I told several people this morning, I have not taught in 2 weeks. If this doesn't get out of me soon, we're all in trouble. It's coming out, whether we like it or not. It is so good that you're here. You know, a lot of times people take the opportunity when the pastor goes on vacation to take a vacation. And it was a beautiful morning this morning, was it not? Fall was teasing us this morning. Dove season is amongst us. It would have been a pretty day, but thank you for being faithful and being here. God has got something big today. There's a lot of special people in the audience today. Every single one of you are special, but for me, it's a special day on two avenues today, because today, actually the day, is my anniversary. So today is my anniversary. I think she... Oh, there she is. She's sitting on the floor today. Man, this is awesome. My beautiful bride of 23 years, she has put up with me, and today's the day. And tomorrow's kind of a semi-special day. My good friend Shannon Hamilton is in the house today, and tomorrow is 10 months. Can you believe it? 10 months ago, tomorrow, was a big day for Shannon and I. We may talk about that a little bit more. Colossians chapter 3, here's what's going on. If you've been keeping along and following along in our daily Bible readings, you would have come to a series of verses in Colossians this week. Pastor said before he went on sabbatical that we're kind of in this mode right now that we're talking about kind of a spiritual detox, not like going in and you know, like checking yourself into a detox, but really a spiritual cleansing. And so what's getting ready to happen is this. I'm getting ready to break every public speaking rule in the book, okay? And Walt told you a little bit earlier, I mean, that's what I do for a living, but I'm getting ready to break every public speaking rule in the book, and I'm going to tell you the ending at the beginning. You never do that. You always save your good stuff for the end, right? I'm going to tell you the ending at the beginning, and here it is. In about... Kelvin, you gave me a lot of time. Thank you. I don't know where you are, but thank you for all this time. In about 20 minutes-ish, I'm going to pray. And when I pray, there'll be an invitation. Now, if you've been in a Baptist church more than twice, you know what's getting ready to happen. Some of you have been in a Baptist church longer than twice. You know what's going to happen. I'm going to pray, there's going to be an invitation. And in that time of invitation, there's going to be a challenge. There's always a challenge. Here's the challenge. I'm going to tell it to you right off the bat. Are you all in? That's the challenge. Now, if I was to take a survey right now and ask you, if you're in this auditorium and you're a born-again believer of Jesus Christ, the question I would ask you right now is this. Are you all in? What does that mean? Well, it simply means this. Are you sold out? See, Paul wrote a letter to a church in Colossae. They were struggling with some stuff. Distractions mainly. There were a lot of distractions. As a matter of fact, some really smart people made their way into this particular church and started teaching some higher type of ideas, almost to the point of confusion. Now, what can confusion do to a church? What can confusion do to a person? What can confusion do to a nation? Well, if you don't know the answer, all you have to do is rewind your DVR and watch the last 2 weeks' conventions and take a look at our political system. There's a great snapshot of confusion. Confusion inside a church can be particularly dangerous because, quite frankly, it can lead to some trouble. A lack of focus leads to apathy. Apathy leads to atrophy. Atrophy destroys from within. So here's the end. Look at chapter 3, verse 17. It's going to be the last verse I read today. Hopefully I get to it. If you've ever sat in my class, well, we've been in the book of Matthew for 2 years now. There's just too many good red letters in Matthew. It takes time to get through Matthew. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Here's the end. Here's how I'm going to end in about 20 minutes or so. I'm just going to give it to you now. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Notice there's a couple of key words right there. And I looked this up this morning just to double check to make sure I had this right. You notice that it starts off, it says, whatever you do, whatever, the key word. I looked it up in the Greek. Guess what it means? Whatever. That means anything. And you notice he kind of captures the whole thing. Whatever you do in word or deed, that's pretty much if your eyes are open, it's whatever you do. It's whatever you do in word and deed, do it for God. Are you all in? See, here's what happens. A lot of times we go through our life and we think, whatever I do, I'll do in the name of the Lord. But necessarily the words don't always line up. Or this, I'll say a lot of good things, but maybe my actions don't necessarily line up. Paul just lays it out. Whatever you do in word and deed. Question, are you all in? That's going to be the invitation. Now, in the previous verses going up, he gives us a snapshot on what it looks like to be all in. And so we're going to cover that, and you'll be able to go back and look and really check to see how you would vote at the end versus how you would vote right now. Because what's going to happen is, I'm going to ask you right now, are you all in? And many of you are sitting there going, yeah, I'm all in. Great. It's an easy checklist. For me, this has all been about two books. This one right here, which is large print, plus glasses. What does that tell you? And this one right here. It's a small little journal. Had to go looking for it. You ever move? And then you go to look for things that were normally in the same spot, and they're not there anymore. I've had that problem for like the last, I couldn't find my good bow tie this morning, so I wore my backup bow tie this morning. But there's just certain things missing. Well, my journals were one of them, but I did find this particular journal. This particular journal dates back a year. It's full. I filled it up. I'm a journal nut. If anybody knows me, I have 5 journals running at any given time. But in this particular journal, last year, on July 8th, I wrote an entry. Got word today that I was approved for the transplant. God is so great. I pray for wisdom as Shannon and I look forward to the dates for the transplant. And at the bottom, I wrote 2 verses. 1 Corinthians 10:31 and Colossians 3:17. Verse 1. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand. Set your minds on things above. Here's the first thing right off the bat. A life that is focused and that is all in is a life that's focused on things above. That's it. A life that is focused on things above. Now, what does that mean? Well, simply for us as a church, it's this. It's being focused on the results. It's being focused on what God has commanded us to do as a congregation to do. Now, as a church, we have three primary results, three things that our pastor has been talking to us about for over 6 years now. I commit to Jesus, I commit to each other, and I commit to the world. That's it. It's scriptural. You can go in and find those three things in Scripture. There are basic commands. It's what God has called us to do. Now, if you go back into the Old Testament and you look into another journal, a journal written by a king. Matter of fact, many would consider him the wisest king ever to live. He wrote a personal journal. We call it the Book of Ecclesiastes. And in this journal, in the very last page, in the last entry of his journal, we refer to it as chapter 12, in the last verses of this particular journal, you see an entry from this king. And his entry is this: at the end of the day, here's the most important thing: fear God and keep his commands. That's it. If you go into the New Testament and all of a sudden you find a very simple scene in history. You see Jesus surrounded by his disciples being just pressured on a constant basis by those smarter, you know, a lot of smart people coming in. And one person comes up to Jesus and he asks him this question: what's the most important commandment? And Jesus looks at him and he says, love God with all your heart and soul, strength and mind. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's the results. Paul writes and says, look, right off the bat, an all-in life is focused on things above. It's what God has called us to do. Keep looking. Verse 2, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Verse 5, very important. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways of life, but now you must rid yourself of these such things as anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie. Hey, look, here's the bottom line. An all-in life is a life that looks different. That's the point. It's a life that looks different. If your life has these particular things in it, it looks just like everybody else. But an all-in life for Jesus is a life that looks different. I mean, if you just look at this list, it's a pretty nasty list here. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed. Those are all personal things, by the way. Many people struggle with one or more of these things. Are we going to struggle? Yes, we're going to struggle. But if your life looks like this on a regular basis, you may not be all in. Keep looking. Verse 9, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off the old self with its practices and put on a new self. Now, here's what's very interesting. This thing, this put on, clothe yourself, this idea of putting things on, it's an interesting term. It literally means to put on, to get up in the morning and actually do something this way. To put it on. Just like each and every one of you got up this morning and got dressed. For some of us, it's a little more challenging. I probably changed only 6 times this morning, which is pretty normal for me. But I finally decided what to wear, right? I started last night around midnight. My wife comes in and she says, what are you going to wear? Well, I don't know. I'm going between this. I'm going between that. I'm going between this. And ultimately, I was looking for things that matched, right? I don't know if this works, but it is what it is. But every day we get up and we make a choice and we put something on. At least I would hope that most of us put something on. And that choice goes with us all day long. You make the same choice every day when you wake up. If you're a born-again believer of Jesus Christ, you make the same choice. You get up and you put on a new self. Now, here's what's interesting. Look at what it says here. Verse 10, and put on the new self which is being renewed in knowledge. See, an all-in life is a life that's fresh. Now, here's what's interesting. I turned 49 this year. Heavy sigh. I've got about 7-8 more months before, you know, a milestone comes. And for me, I became a believer at 18. 18, small town of Duncan, Oklahoma. Southern Baptist Church. Pastor Dan Pruitt. I'll never forget the day. As a matter of fact, where's Mama Zacharias? Was that a proud moment this morning? I saw you kind of turning your neck. Papa Zacharias was back there, and you know, it was a proud moment. It was absolutely a proud moment. I remember that day. I was 18. I remember that day. Dan Pruitt, I promise you, he held me down just a little longer because he knew me. And he said, it's going to take a little bit more for this to take. And so he just held me down a little bit longer. He pulled me up. I asked JT this morning, I said, can you hold your breath for about 3 or 4 minutes? He looked at me and says, I'm pretty sure no. I said, all right, well, you should be all right. I was 18. I just turned 49. You can do the math. Can it be challenging after all that span of time as a believer? Can it be challenging to get up and to be fresh? You think it can be challenging? Every single day. An all-in believer, though, someone who is all in, word and deed, literally needs to be looking for ways to be fresh. And how do you do that? Well, we're going to talk about that a little bit more as we go. An all-in believer is fresh. Keep looking. Here we go, back in. Verse 10, and we put on the new self that's being renewed in knowledge in the image of our Creator. Verse 11, here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is in all. And Christ is all and is in all. Here's the thing. In that list, a couple of things mentioned. Barbarian, Scythian. Those are the meanest of mean, the rudest of rude. I mean, they're just people that you just don't like. How many of you in this room right now knows at least one person in your life that is just ornery, you just don't like? I mean, your hand needs to be up. Because everybody knows somebody like that. They're around. Here's what Paul tells us. Paul tells us those people are out there. There's no big aha, right? We know that. But here's the thing that he reminds us of, and this is so important to be reminded of. He reminds us that God made them, and they're gods. And an all-in believer realizes that when we're encountering people on a daily basis, no matter how ornery they are, we have to remember God made them just like he made me. It's the foundation for love. This is the foundation that love begins. Remember, Christ said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. You don't stand a chance in loving your neighbor unless you begin by laying it on the foundation of remembering that God made your neighbor. Now, sometimes, you know, I know what some of you are thinking. Sometimes you're wondering if God needed a mulligan on a few people. God, you sure you got that one right? Yes. He got that one right. The foundation, hey, look, an all-in life is a life that remembers that God made everyone. Keep looking. Verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another. Now, I got to tell you, God always does this to me. I don't know if anybody else has this happen, but it always happens to me. I started studying this verse and this chapter. I started reading this about the same time as we closed on our new home and about the same time as we started remodeling that new home and about the same time we started moving into that new home. Anybody here ever move and remodel at the same time? Yeah, it requires medication. It does. And what's very interesting is, you know, at one point in time, we had 12 contractor trucks in front. We only had beds set up on either side. We couldn't get into the middle. We had the dogs in the kennel. I was on the road. School was getting ready to start. I couldn't find anything. I was pretty sure I was wearing clean clothes. I didn't know for sure. And we were in transition, moving out of Janann and Shannon's house, which, you know, after 3 weeks living with them, I was pretty sure he was going to give the kidney back. I mean, it was one of those trying times. And in the midst of all of that, guess what? God says, oh, by the way, I've got some verses I'm going to need you to start studying on. And here's a key verse for you. Just clothe yourself in compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. And by the way, bear with each other and forgive. And I'm going, God, can I just pick one or two? Do I need to do the whole thing? Because there were plenty of times during that transition that I'm thinking, this one ain't going to work. But you know what I was reminded? Verse 17. In word and deed, whatever you do, you got to be all in. You know when this verse, this particular verse right here, clothe yourself in all these things, you know when this verse really matters? When you're stressed. That's when it matters. It really doesn't matter when you're not stressed, because you can fake your way through most of these, but it's when you're stressed that's when you have to start paying attention to this particular list. Keep looking. And all these virtues, amongst all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together. An all-in life loves each other. Verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you are called to peace and being thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts. Look, an all-in life is a life that is a life of worship. It's the active act of acting out our worship. That's it. It's taking our love and putting it into motion. That's worship. Worship doesn't just happen on Sundays. Worship happens all the time. An all-in life is a life focused on worship. So there's the checklist. An all-in life is a life that's focused on the things above, that looks different, that's fresh, that sees Christ in others, that's clothed in good, that loves others. It's a life full of peace and thanksgiving, and it's a life full of worship. That's an all-in life. That's it. That's what Paul writes. That's an all-in life. Now, the question is if you sit here and you go through that list and you ask yourself, well, okay, I'm here, but I'm not quite there, but maybe I'm a little bit here and I do a little bit of that. The question that you have to wrestle with in about 3 minutes is this. Are you all in, or are you just part of the way in? You see, a year ago, last January, a good friend of mine called and he said, hey, Tony, hey, what are you doing? It was a Saturday morning. It was a rare Saturday morning that I was here. He called and he said, hey, what's going on? I said, well, you know, I've just got a couple things going on. He said, it's early in the morning, too. He said, hey, we're having a men's conference over at one of the churches on the other side of town. He said, you want to go? I said, well, how long? He said, we're probably done by 10. I said, perfect. Nobody in my house will be up until 11, so, you know, it's perfect timing for me. So he said, meet me over at Cafe Brazil. Let's grab a cup of coffee, and we'll go over to this men's conference. I said, brilliant. Let's go. So I met him. We had a cup of coffee. Good coffee over at Cafe Brazil in Carrollton. I don't know if you've ever been there. Highly recommend it. And then we scooted out. We went over to this men's conference, and I'm sitting in this men's conference, and I'm thinking, it was the last day, and I'm thinking, God, I don't know what is here. I mean, this whole thing is done, but it's the last day, whatever you have. And so I sat through the whole thing, and I was just kind of, I was encouraged, I was lifted up, but it wasn't until the last 2 minutes of this men's conference that God just kind of pounded me right on the head. And the pastor that was doing this conference, he said, man, I want to challenge you. And here's the challenge I want to give you. I want to lift up, and I want to have 1,000 praying men in our community. Who's in? I raised my hand. I said, I'm in. He said, all right, well, here's what it's going to take. You got to commit with me. one day a week, Wednesday, every day of the week, I want you to pray and fast one day a week. And I want you to write down what God's doing. It was a simple challenge. It happened in the last 3 or 4 minutes of this conference. Everything that went on up to this point, this was it. I jotted that down. I looked at my buddy Mark and I said, you know what? I'm in. Now here's what I'm going to tell you right now. If God puts something in front of you and says, are you in? If you say you're in, all I got to say is you better strap on your seatbelt. Because God will do things in your life that will freak you out. And that's exactly what he did. A simple day of praying and fasting on a Wednesday turned into me writing down in a simple journal the things that God did. And then all of a sudden, somewhere along the way, right before February-ish, God kept pinging on my heart. And he said, Tony, I want to take you a little bit deeper. Are you in? I said, God, I'm all in. He said, I want you to consider extending your fast. I want to get to you. I think it's time that you kind of flush out all of this stuff that's been building up. And a lot of stuff had been building up. I was probably about 50 pounds overweight. I was traveling 200 days a year. It was a lot. I said, God, I'm in. He said, all right, here's the journey. And he laid it out. You know how he laid it out? He laid it out in scripture. He laid it out with other people. He laid it out with emails that I got. He laid it out with people that I heard. He laid it out with messages that I heard on the radio. He laid it out all around me. I said, God, I can't deny this. What do you want? He says, I want 40 days. 40? Lord, you know how cranky I get if I miss a meal. 40? He says, 40 days. So I did. 40 days. Many of you experienced some of the crankiness that went along with that, especially my wife and my kids, but they were very supportive. And for 40 days, I wrote down every single thing. Four things that I wrote down. One was what God did the day before, a praise, number one. Number two, a prayer that I wanted to voice that day. Number three, something that I had prepared or something that God had prepared. A scripture, a verse, a word. And then finally, it was a profession. I had a few people that I would share with as I was going through this journey what God was doing. Four very simple things. A praise, a prayer, something that was prepared, and then a profession for 40 days. You know what's crazy? I started flipping through my journals this weekend. The praise pages outnumber the prayer pages 2 to 1. 2 to 1. The closer I got to spending time with God, the more he lit me up. And then as I was finishing that fast, we had dinner with Janann and Shannon one night. We sat down and Janann said, hey, we're celebrating. It's a great night. Shannon just found out that he's on the transplant list. And I said, Shannon, that is great. What's the wait? He said, 3.5 years. It's a long time. What's the other options? He said, well, living donor, but they'd have to be a perfect match. I said, why not? How do I find out? After several days, we get paperwork, 5 pages of paperwork to fill out just to give blood to see if you can be a match. I thought, whew, man, it's going to be big. So we go down, Shannon, Janann, and I, we go down, we give blood. 3 days later, I get a phone call. You're a perfect match. God shows up. Now we have to go through testing, 2 days of testing down at Baylor. We go through the testing. Numerous doctors, surgeons, therapists, counselors to make sure I'm not crazy, social workers. And finally, I sat down with Dr. Anaka, one of the head surgeons on the team, and he says, you know, here's what's interesting. Not only are you a perfect match, but you're in perfect health. You see, because I didn't know it, but in January, God challenged me to do a fast that cleansed out everything inside of me. I lost over 55 pounds. I ran my first half marathon. My blood pressure was at a level that it had never been before. Every single indicator in my body said I was in perfect health. Now, the truth be told, in January of that same year, they wouldn't have let me in the doors. But God showed up. We get our paperwork on July 8th that we're a match. We set the transplant date for November 10th of last year, 11-10-11. We wanted to do it on 11-11-11, but the doctors don't, I think they play golf on that day. So nobody was there. 11-10-11. And I wrote a paper for school, and I chronicled all this, and I jotted down the very last thing that I said before I went to sleep that night. And it's the last idea of what's going to happen tomorrow. But Lord, I'm all in. I'm yours. Whatever you want, I'm in. The question is this: how in are you? Paul says in word and deed, every single thing that we do. I would challenge you this week to take a look at this list and ask yourself, how all in are you? Now it's time for our invitation. I told you it was coming. I'm going to give you a challenge, the same one I gave you at the beginning. If you're a born-again believer of Jesus Christ and you're in this room today, the question you have to ask is, are there some gaps in my all-in-ness? Now, here's the other side of that. If you're in this room today and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, let me just tell you this, you don't know what you're missing. But I will tell you what you will find. Death. Without Jesus Christ in your life, Scripture tells us it's eternal death. With Christ, it's eternal life. If that's something you want, we can help. I'm going to pray in a moment, and after I pray, there's going to be pastors and members of our staff down here at the front. It's traditional. You see this all the time. And for some people, it can be kind of confusing. Why are they down there? Oh, I don't want to go out. I don't want to step outside my pew. I want to get to the other thing. I don't want to mess anything up. The question right now is this: are you all in? That's the question. Are you willing to make a step and say, you know what, I got to get something right in my life? It's okay to come down here and pray at these steps. It's okay to pray right where you are. It's okay to come down and ask one of these ministers down front, you know what, I may not be as in as I need to be. Can you pray for me? And you know what? We will. That's the point. Are you all in? Let's pray. Father, the time has come. The invitation is here. Lord, your Spirit has been working. Your word has been read. And your word says that it never goes out and comes back void. Father, there are those sitting in this room right now who know you, who are all in. And I lift them up and I praise you for them. I ask your protection on them. I ask your favor to be on them. And I ask that you anoint them. Do miraculous things in their life. Father, there are those in this room, and you know them by every hair on their head, that are half in. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit convicts them, pierces their heart, and draws them closer to you. Father, the time is now. Stir their hearts. And Father, you know that there are people in this room right now who have never come to know your Son as Lord. Father, I pray your Holy Spirit right now would call them so clearly, that the words would be so clear in their mind that they cannot deny them. Father, give them courage, give them boldness, give them strength to be all in. and to step out and come down and grab a minister's hand and share with them that decision. Father, stir right now in the hearts of this congregation. We give you all the praise and all the glory, and we ask it in your Son's precious name.